Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it.
There you go. Were you listening to me, Neo, or were you looking at the woman in the red dress? Look again. Anyway, that scene. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, August 6, 2019. We're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina on the phone. That scene, right?
Yes. And if, like I say, they can't see it, but I remember this, okay? Because I remember it hit me later, and I went back and drug it out. This was years ago, and checked to be sure my memory was correct. Now, that movie was so carefully constructed, I don't think this was an accident, okay? What they were playing in front of your eyes was what he was saying. Did they pick a big factory where the whistle blew and all these blue-collar men came out with their lunch boxes while the garbage truck was on the street with the black men working and all? Nah. They, if I remember correctly, they were 100% white-collar, white professional class people. Because you see, and they talk about how stuck they are. Because you see, these people, if you look at the system as the plantation model, these are the house slaves, okay? Now, see, they're not hurting as bad as the field slaves, okay? Like I say, they're getting a chicken for their pot. So they are the ones that are often most deeply invested in the system and why they will fight to protect it and protect master, because master's not being as bad to them, you see, as he is to other people. They're getting a chicken, you see. So the thing is, I thought, well, I'm probably the only person that's ever noticed this, and I'm surely the only person that would ever verbally express it. But if you look at that scene, they chose those particular white-collar professionals. But if you think of the system as the plantation model, those people, they're not hurting as bad. They're making it. And see, these people are kind of sometimes the hardest to wake up. Like, you know, these kind of...
There's no question about it. And the academics and the intellectuals, too. And that corresponds
to
the point.
Yeah,
well,
so
like Chamath Palihapitiya said at his Stanford Business School talk, you know, you people are probably the most susceptible because you've been checkboxing your whole you know what lives. And corresponds to the point that I made earlier in today's broadcast about how you can't negotiate with a terrorist. And it is that mental sort of inurement where you try to, you know, subconsciously, you basically try to make your own Faustian bargain, as John Whitehead put it, which I think is a brilliant way to, you know, a tacit Faustian bargain struck. And he's talking about that. That's the article I still am threatening to get back to, John Whitehead's article, The Rise of the American Gestapo. Has it already happened here? And he's talking about reflecting on, actually, he's quoting Barry Yuen, New York Times article, quoting Eric Johnson, writing about how in Nazi Germany, most Germans had made a tacit Faustian bargain, you know, between the regime and the citizenry, and that's today's America.
Well, you know, like these kind of investment con men, they love doctors. Why? Because they have extra money that they are looking to invest, and they have that mindset. They're so sure they're so smart because they're at the top of the intellectual food chain, because they're doctors. They don't think they can be fooled, and that's what makes them the best suckers.
Well,
so that, they love those people.
A valid point, but I think even more than that these days, I think that many of them actually, you know, if push came to shove, they would admit that, yes, they maybe can and have been conned, but it's as much as what you're saying, it's also the socioeconomic strata and the status level and the things, you know, the trappings that come along with it. And I do mean trappings and those kinds of things, and the status and the prestige and those kinds of things. And so to renounce that becomes extremely difficult. And again, folks like Bertrand Russell have written about this, and for that matter, law enforcement as well. You pay them a little bit more, and then you sort of condition them to think that because of herd mentality, you know, we're all doing it, so it's okay, and they had it coming anyway, and you harden them and desensitize them. And so, you know, eventually, you know, again, that's the inertment that I was speaking of, and that's why that clip is so emblematic to me, because it is the operative word is inert to
they're the overseers, just like the bad guys that Neo has to fight. Look what kind of suits they have on. I mean, they're like that typical, you know, cheap suit FBI guy, you know, that we all laugh about, you know. So the thing agent. Is the agents, you know, are in there that he's fighting, or you know, are pretty, you know, they're kind of equivalent to the overseer, like I say, if you think of it in the plantation model. So I wanted to, like I say, I hope you spend more time on that, because like I say, all of us could use a refresher on that, and there's some people that they've never even heard of this of the Matrix, because it truly is an important contribution to helping to understand and see things. I'll never forget. It's one of those kind of moments. I remember being in the theater, and when they brought up that scene about the red pill and the blue pill, and they start talking about, you've known it your whole life, there's something wrong with the world. And, you know, let's face it, when Pompeo recently admitted how the CIA lies, cheats, and steals, the thing is, it's like, we have all been gaslighted, and there is no shame. You know, people need to get over their pride and their feelings of hurt. Because really, who's more wrong? I mean, it's not fun to be duped, but you know what? Who's really more to blame? You for believing someone, to trying to trust people and believe someone, or the person who lied to you? You know, so people need to get over that. You know, that can be a little bit of prideful hurdle sometimes for some people.
Yeah, Jesus and Pontius Pilate talking, you know, Pilate saying, I'm trying to let you go. I don't know what to do. The people, they won't let me do it. And Jesus says, he who delivered me up has a greater sin. So to your point, those who knowingly mislead people, you know, Jesus had some strong words for that. The, you know, it'd be better that a millstone be hung around their neck than to mislead these little ones of his. So yeah, to lead or mislead and lead astray the unwashed and unwitting masses is diabolical and insidious. And that's why, to me, the operative quote is always Nesta Webster's, you know, the excerpt from World Revolution, A Plot Against Civilization, when she wrote, to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And that's the kind of people that you're talking about. But again, this gets to me right back to Adorno, Frankfurt School, Tavistock Institute, the engineering of culture and in turn behavior, so on. It's diabolical. The destruction of society.
And it's not fun admitting you've been played or gaslighted.
No,
you know, it's not
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely not.
But what's your choice? You know, keep yourself stuck in that?
Right.
You know?
Yep, absolutely.
So, I'm glad you brought up the Matrix, and I hope you discuss it some more.
I'm fairly confident we will. We brought it up earlier this year. In fact, I'll play something. I mentioned when the 20th anniversary talk started earlier this year, you know, I mentioned David Sims' Atlantic article and some of the others. a movie like The Matrix might never happen again.
Oh, and a little tidbit that I saw in the news recently. I caught one article that said if we continue to on the path we're on, where all the wealth is going like to the top 1%, in 33 years, that top 1% will own 100% of everything in this country. I thought, whew, that's scary when you put it in those words.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know? And if we get rid of central banking, that all starts to evaporate. You can't do that without this scheme, Ponzi scheme.
I know, but we haven't been very successful, have we?
Well,
you know, even Rand Paul even admitted, I couldn't believe this, I saw something else, Rand Paul recently admitted what I had figured out, that the Tea Party movement has been a failure. I thought, Lord, for Rand Paul to say that, you know, but it has been
a
complete failure.
Limited hangout. And I think it's been a success in the fact that it's a modified limited hangout. And
I absolutely agree with you there. You know,
a honeypot,
because it just
of
didn't
sorts.
Work. They just joined the swamp. You know, they did.
A honeypot. Yep.
Yep. So let me let you go.
Thanks, Renee. I appreciate it as always. So speaking of the 20-year anniversary, you know, there was that story that Will Smith told, and it was humorous, and you know, I thought it was humorous, and we played it when it was first published back in February. It's kind of funny, even though I'm not, you know, used to be kind of a Will Smith fan, definitely not anymore after, you know, some of the things that I've seen and heard, and what's going on with his children, I think is extremely unfortunate. Anyway, but the story is humorous. The video is titled "Why I Turned Down the Matrix: Story Time with Will Smith." So here is the story of why he turned down the Matrix. Go ahead, please.
All right, this is one of them stories. I'm not proud of, but it's the truth. I did turn down Neo in the Matrix. Hold up, y'all jumping to conclusions.
That was a crazy time in my life. It was like, however I threw the ball, it was going in. I had done Independence Day the year before. So I was like, I'm not doing another alien movie. I don't want to be the alien movie guy. So I turned down Men in Black. And Steven Spielberg called me. He was producing. He said, why are you turning down the movie? I was like, you know, I just don't want to be the alien guy. He said, do me a favor. Don't use your brain for this one. Use my brain. He was so serious that I was like, all right, he did do Jaws. You just get in that universal energy and nothing can go wrong. And the other side comes and then you can't do nothing right. So after we made Men in Black, the Wachowskis, they came in and it was like they had only done one movie. They did a movie, I think it was called Bound. And they came in and they made a pitch for The Matrix.
And as it turns out, they're geniuses. But there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
So this is the actual pitch that they made for The Matrix.
So dude, we're thinking like imagine you're in a fight and then you like jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump.
Sam, say that again.
But then people could see around you 360 while you're jumping, while you're stopped jumping, right? And then we're going to invent these cameras. And then people can see the whole jump while you stop in the middle of the jump.
So I made Wild Wild West. I'm not proud of it.
Like, you know, you see people that Monday I was walking around, hey guys, sorry. Hey, listen, I'm working on Bad Boys 2. Don't worry about it, sorry.
But it ain't like it would have been that, like Keanu was perfect. Lawrence Fishburne was perfect. If I had done it, because I'm black, and Morpheus wouldn't have been black because they were looking at Val Kilmer. So I was going to be Neo and Val Kilmer was going to be Morpheus. So I probably would have messed the Matrix up. I would have ruined it. So I did Jaw a favor.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's a story. It is kind of, it's a cute story. I think it's a funny story, but you know, just a moment of levity, I suppose, in the heavy subject matter. So back to the phones, John in Tennessee. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. I hope it's not too noisy. I'm standing on the street corner doing
right
my job. Anyway, couple topics. First of all, it's good to hear Renee. Secondly, music. You know, the way that I learned the quote we've all heard, music hath power to soothe the savage, and we think it's beast, but it's breast. Power to soften rocks and to bend the knotted oak. So you got to ask yourself, if music has power to do that, then what is the opposite? Well, I guess it has power to destroy, deconstruct, tear down, do some really bad things to the point where, I like Celtic music and bluegrass. When I listen to that, it touches me way down deep, man. It gets hold of your heart. It'll mess your insides up in a good way. Beautiful. Classical music, play it forward. Whether or not you like it, play it forward. It's beautiful. Put it in Audacity, play it backwards. It's beautiful. Take rock and roll, take rap, take any other genre of music, play it forward, put it in Audacity, play it backward, and it will hurt your ears. You know, so music has strange powers. We know that in the Bible, David played for Saul, and it calmed him down. It gave his mind back. Music. Something as simple as a stringed instrument or, you know, whatever they have for horns or flutes has power to calm. Now, talking about a man, talking about virtue, as a boy in Detroit, we learned a song in second or third grade called The White and the Blue. And I won't do the whole thing, but white was for valor, and blue was courage through and through. Taught to fourth and fifth graders. Well, you had to eliminate music in the public schools. They don't have music anymore. They don't have art anymore. Now you go to a gas station, black or white or Hispanic, whatever color, playing what they call music through too much amplification, shaking the trunk lid on the vehicle. Have a two-year-old little boy, I seen it just before I called you, standing in the parking lot, supposedly dancing to something that was supposed to be music that wasn't.
Right. And he looks like he's insane, right?
Yeah, it looked demonic.
He looks like he's demon-possessed.
And the dad picked him up and held him in his arms and was dancing, supposedly dancing people with the child.
Yeah.
It could get me arrested for shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah, okay? Unbelievable.
And then wonder why your sons and daughters, and if you'll allow, I'll finish. I hear the music.
Yep, definitely. We'll be right back. Stick around, folks.
Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Music can evoke passion and so delicately hold sway over our moods and even thoughts. Aristotle reportedly said, "Music directly imitates the passions or states of the soul." Hence, when one listens to music that imitates certain passion, he becomes imbued with the same passion. In short, if one listens to the wrong kind of music, he will become the wrong kind of person. But conversely, if he listens to the right kind of music, he'll tend to become the right kind of person. When is music just great and passionate and a song that speaks to the soul? And when is music being used to manipulate, to manage, to market, and to get everyone in line? It seems that good music just grips you and makes you want to listen to it, and I've always wondered why. It is perhaps no surprise that music can alter
me. That is the beginning of Aaron and Melissa Dyke's True Stream Media video, The Secret Power Music Holds Over You, which is a good companion to the Thoughty 2 video. What is the title of that? Again, The Truth Why Modern Music is Awful. So anyway, yeah, speaking of music, go ahead, John.
Well, and it brings to mind, Chris, as a 62-year-old guy, listening to the Beatles in my living room at age 7 or 8 with butter knives beating on a plastic bucket imitating Ringo Starr, my dad coming in and making me put them down, get up, get out of here. I am not raising an animal, you know. Every generation has had music that was less than desirable. We don't understand it. But here's the thing, okay? And we wonder why. Like I said, this young man this morning, shaking his baby, supposedly dancing. And if I were doing that to one of my grandchildren, someone would be calling the law, and I'd be under investigation for shaking baby syndrome, literally. Mm-hmm. And the little kid was loving it, and then you wonder why. And that brings me back to what you were mentioning about man. You know, it used to be that someone would talk to your parents, and they'd say, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hinckley, Chris is such a gentleman. That was a high compliment to your folks. Now, mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Hinckley, Chris is a gentleman. who are you calling a gentleman? I mean, it's an insult, because to be a gentleman, well, what are you saying exactly? You know, what do you mean by that? There's a difference between being not only secure in your manhood, but being able to know it's bridled. You can be a gentle man. You can have fire and ability to destroy with words or with physicality and still be a gentleman. And then wonder why, you know, but now women, they love these people that are being manly men, because they're like someone they've seen in a movie or someone they've seen on TV or someone that is not right in the head, to be truthful. They're not men. They're animals. They don't know how to treat a woman. They make a song that calls a woman everything but what she is. She's the compliment to a man. She's a treasure to a man. And they call her everything in the world. And they, you know, I've heard about some things going on up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that are, it's debauchery. But women nowadays would love it. Many women would love to be that center of attention tied to a boat as an ornament on a cabin cruiser and being marched around a campground, literally, physically, wrapped in lights, lit up like a Christmas tree on the front of a boat because of warped mentality, not knowing right from wrong, not knowing the way that a man and a woman are supposed to be with each other. And I know, man, it's almost like preaching, but to be a gentleman, to be a gentle man, is such a good thing, man. You don't have to show how mean and bad and terrible you can be to another man. In fact, the Bible says that if someone's confronting you and you return evil with kindness, Chris, it's like pouring coals of fire upon their head. You're hurting them by being returned kindness for evil. Get angry, sin not. Mm-hmm. Christ was a perfect example. But you know, Chris, I don't think I'd want him mad at me. I know I wouldn't want him mad at me. Mm-hmm. But he was what we are to be, man or woman. We're to be like him. If we're claiming his name, we're to be like him. We don't have to prove how horrific we can be. Be a gentle man. Be a gentle lady. Be a gentle grandma. Be a gentle granddaughter. Be gentle. And if we would just get that in our heads and do it, what a different world we would have. You listen to music now? Like I've said, man, I turn on classical music. I drive for a living, people. I turn on Mendelssohn or I turn on Chopin, and I drive and I watch the traffic, and they don't know it, but these cars are dancing to classical music, and their movements go right along with every measure in the music. It's amazing. Anyway, that's what I had.
Yeah, you've...
You can be gentle.
Appreciate it, John.
Yeah, take care.
Absolutely. Thank you. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. No flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade.
She's welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast already, this Tuesday, August 6, 2019. And, you know, speaking of misquoted or misattributed, particularly to William Shakespeare, John reminds us of the proper citation of William Congreve's The Mourning Bride from 1697. Music has charms to soothe a savage breast, which is often, you know, misquoted or improperly cited. Music has charms to soothe the savage beast. Anyway, that's the opening line it's the beginning of the opening line, I should say, from The Mourning Bride, Act 1, Scene 1. And speaking of the same play, and again misquoted and misattributed generally to William Shakespeare, heaven has no rage like love turned to love to hatred turned, and nor hell a fury like a woman scorned. That's same play, Act 3, Scene 8. Anyway. Paraphrased usually as hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So, and generally misattributed to Shakespeare. But, you know, just while we're on the subject. So, what was the other thing? Speaking of the Matrix, the other thing I was going to mention in the Brave New World we live in, the Wachowskis, when I talked about the Matrix 20-year anniversary earlier this year, I mentioned the crazy, you know, speaking of this, what I would call a Romans chapter 1 continuum, again, not to continue on that kick, but how can you not? Romans chapter 1, you read it, how can you not see a correlation? Because when we live in a society that really is sort of categorized by the technocratic religion of scientism, science is a religion, science can fix everything. Yeah, but you keep creating problems. Never mind, we have a pill for that. I was having a conversation about healthcare stuff. And so, you know, someone said, well, I don't agree with how you guys feel about, you know, the healthcare industry, speaking of allopathic medicine, so to speak, which to me is sort of, it's getting to the point, if it hasn't been before, to be an oxymoron. You know, healthcare, allopathic care. Managed chronic illness is what it really is. Managed chronic illness is good for business. So, you know, this person says, well, I don't necessarily agree with your views, you people. You people. Anyway, no. But, you know, saying I find some things redeeming about the allopathic medical community. And I said, yes, but we need to make a distinction. I agree to a point. And I used auto repair as an analogy, which I think is fitting. And there is, I think, a strong correlation, a strong parallel between the two and the mindset that goes along with it. And I've talked about that. But basically, the analogy is this. You know, I'm a trained mechanic, diesel mechanic particularly. And, but, you know, I've worked on gas stuff and whatever, rebuilt things. You know, down to the last nut and bolt, but I don't have $50,000-$100,000 worth of diagnostic equipment. So why not go to a shop and pay $60 or whatever, $60, $65, $70, whatever, to have them diagnose it, their expensive equipment, and then I'll fix it. Why not? Similarly, in the allopathic community, sure, you know, maybe their diagnostic equipment is better. Well, it's, you know, it's more sophisticated, more expensive. So, you know, maybe you go in and get a CAT scan, a CT scan or something like that, and hopefully you don't get cancer while you're in the process of being diagnosed. That notwithstanding, you know, to have some diagnosis, you know, maybe that's helpful. Problem is, like the auto repair industry, far too often what happens is you get a recommendation, you're basically encouraged to believe that you probably shouldn't try to fix it on your own. And I was thinking about this the other day. You look at all of these new cars. Remember, it used to be fun going back decades. If you grew up, and these things were a rite of passage, you know. Do fathers and sons work on things anymore? You can't work on anything yourself. You need to have, I joke and say, you need to have Japanese fingers to work on things these days. I remember the first pickup I had was a 69 Ford with a factory 4-speed and a 360, and there was enough room under the hood that you could climb in and close the hood and still be able to work. A lot of room under there. Now, man, good luck. Everything is, you know, there's a CAD program that designs it all so that it fits together without a millimeter of space to spare. And again, if you don't have all the diagnostic equipment, forget about it. And so you don't, who wants to mess with all this computerized stuff? And what's the fun in that? Remember all of the unique expressions? Same thing happens on the web. You know, it used to be fun for people to express themselves. Now, it's just not fun anymore. got to have all these tools. You got to worry about all this stuff. And so where are the fathers working with their sons, teaching, you know, passing on the, you know, the work ethic, the industry, the initiative and creativity to troubleshoot? You know, it's either fuel or fire. Figure it out. Anyway. So the analogy is, you know, in the auto repair industry, far too often people have had stories where you go in, they do the diagnostic and they say, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, get your thingamajigger changed and the, you know, your muffler bearings changed in there and your tires, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, we can do that. And anyway, there are too many people who have stories where something was fixed, but then two or three things were broken in the process of fixing the one. And healthcare seems to work similarly. Many stories about that. Somebody goes in, dies for something unrelated to what they were admitted for. And so it's difficult to go to the allopathic community, get diagnosed, so to speak, but then go explore alternative methods to treat whatever your diagnosis is, and, you know, say, you know, alternative methods for healing. But it's not, because the allopathic community is not interested in healing people. It's not. It's managing chronic illness that the allopathic community has really been, I would say, conscripted to, dare I say. You know, if there are folks that have genuinely held to the Hippocratic Oath, well, we're not really doing harm. I mean, they showed up and they're already harmed. So, yeah, the mental gymnastics at work there. So you find yourself being diagnosed, and then you get the hardcore sales pitch. You're going to have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. You really have to do this. I think I want a second opinion. Oh, that's, you can't, there's no, you have to do this. And usually these days the treatment is something along the lines of a surgery. Something has to be removed that, you know, is vital and essential for your health and well-being. And or it's medication. And, you know, today's, well, yesterday's Wonder Drug is today's class action lawsuit, is tomorrow's rebranded Wonder Drug. Don't worry about that. But, you know, you get a Wonder Drug and it has side effects. You know, it may improve your condition, and it has side effects. Oops, but you know what? Don't worry. We have a pill for that, which has side effects. But don't worry. We have a pill for that, which has side effects. But don't worry about that. We have a pill for that. And then you find yourself taking 8 pills all of a sudden. And it becomes virtually impossible, and you get the incredulous response. If people talk about it. We've talked about it on this broadcast. Incredulity. How dare you question my authority? I went to years of school and I have, you know, this is what I do. Okay. Could a billion Chinese be wrong? Yes. Just because there are 10 of you doesn't mean you're all correct. But I know herdthink makes us want to believe that. This herdthink we've been inculcated into. You're insane if you break from the herd. How dare you? Especially the white coat herd. I mean, how dare you? The audacity. So you get this incredulous response. Oh, well. And, you know, people have talked on this broadcast about experiences with, and I'm not saying it's everyone in the medical community is that way, the allopathic community. I'm not. However, it is marked by that experience. It is. There are exceptions, but they are exceptions. Can we just admit that? I know there are good folks. I know some, actually. But it is the exception at this point. It is a community that is predominated by Rockefeller-styled eugenics. The death cult that has conscripted folks to it. Unwittingly, I would say, under the specious guise of the Hippocratic Oath. That's what's going on. And now Baer is, you know, the Council of the Gods. I.G. Farben is sort of at the helm of it. That's a problem. So it's difficult to go in and get diagnosed without getting the hardcore sales pitch and the incredulous response to, you know, I you know what? I appreciate that. Can I get back to you on that? I want a second opinion. I want to maybe explore some options. Oh, disdainful, incredulous response. And you are shamed and humiliated and guilted. Most people to the point of capitulation. Well, okay. I guess I'll, you know, okay. I've seen it personally. People have talked about it on this broadcast. I've heard it other places. It's, you know, it's overwhelming. That's difficult. Anyway, the couple of things before we go out. I'm not going to get back to those articles. But, you know, Romans chapter 1. I mean, you read it and, gosh, man. From verse 18 on, really, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. I said I wasn't going to do this. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And whenever I think of this, I think we need to define terms. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. That's a powerful phrase. Powerful statement. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, which sounds like an oxymoron, but they're so self-evident, even the invisible are evident. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Wow. The invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that, as Glenn reminded us the other day, they are without excuse. What is that, yesterday, I want to say? Anyway. Yeah, because it's Tuesday. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. When I started talking about this years ago, I said there's a church on every corner. And we've had a significant transition in the last year, 2 years. Church, as in, you know, Christian in some fashion or another, biblically oriented, perhaps, maybe, dare we say. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their technocratic scientism speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, etc., etc. And it's a downward spiral to the end of the chapter. From there, I dare say that's America. They headed at breakneck speed over the edge of the cliff, can't get there fast enough, shifting gears, pedal to the metal. We shall all be calling a woe, because where do we go from here? Anyway, there are a couple of things I wanted to get to yesterday. I didn't. I'll mention those. We're about headed into a break. So, just a few. The anecdotal stuff, you know, haying, didn't get back to that. The other thing I was going to get back to. So the distinction I just covered, there is a distinction, you know. Yeah, diagnosis is one thing, but then to be subjected to managing chronic illness, I'm not a fan of that. Side effects may include death. Yeah. You know, the thing that I came in for was not death. Why would I take something that might make me worse? Well, it might help, might make things better. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not running around playing Russian roulette, so. You know, speaking of that, I was looking at some of the interesting connections. Deer Hunter. You know? My brain, the way that it works. Michael Cimino and his interesting career crossing paths with Aaron Russo, and then suddenly he falls from grace after the Deer Hunter, one of the, you know, 153rd greatest American film of all time, according to AFI, American Film Institute. And then suddenly he disappears into obscurity. has all these weird CIA stories. We'll talk more when we come back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hi, this is Matt Ray for MySleepAllNight.com, and most of us don't even realize that almost all of the healing, learning, and rejuvenating that happens in our body happens only when we are deeply asleep. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, it's likely you never consistently achieve that crucial level of deep sleep. Deep restorative sleep is the key to health, mood, productivity, longevity, memory, you name it. So many health benefits. To experience what deep sleep feels like, try the new dietary supplement Sleep All Night, formulated by scientist Kurt Hendricks. And sleep like your life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. Head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. That's MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code RADIO for 20% off your purchase. Again, head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code RADIO. That's MySleepAllNight.com.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
My friend, yes, feels their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, yeah, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, boy, you just keep on using me till you use me up. Until you use
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, August 6, 2019. Speaking of the Front Sight commercial, and to me it's the Jaron Lanier connection. In a nation categorized by juvenilia, Silicon Juvenilia. It is sweeping the nation. It's all the rage. You know, the way Jaron Lanier put it, everything going on in digital culture, from the ideals of open software to the emergent styles of Wikipedia, can be understood in terms of cultural neoteny. There will usually be both a lovely side and a nasty side to neoteny. it will correspond to the good and bad sides of what goes on in any playground. Well, when you have Machiavellian folks like leadership of Alphabet, Google, YouTube, etc., telling you, I need to find that quote. Who was the guy that said, you know, we're going to tell them we're not doing it while we're doing it, right in front of their face the whole time? I forget. That's from, I want to say back in the 30s or 40s. I want to say the 40s. I forget who said it and the exact quote. That's a paraphrase. Anyway, so in a nation marked by, categorized by cultural neoteny, by juvenilia, do you really want everyone to be armed? You know, that was a rite of passage when you're a young man, you're a boy, you get a BB gun, eventually a young man, you get a 22, and you sort of graduate, at least in the parts where I grew up. And when you proved yourself responsible enough to handle firearms, you weren't just a foolish child like Paul says in the Bible when I was a child. It's 1 Corinthians 13. That's one of those passages, right? The love passage. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13. So after that, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And I keep thinking about this every day. Have you noticed that, speaking of the social engineering, the efforts that have been made to vilify the adult in any, not just setting or context, but any depiction, particularly in, cultural, whatever, media portrayals or entertainment portrayals, the adult, the only adult, is usually a lone voice, outnumbered by the herd think, by the Delphi technique. And, you know, everyone is bullied into believing that it's just not, you're a prude. You're no fun. Foolishness is fun. No, it's not. It's dangerous. Anyway, I didn't get to the other things, but, you know, hopefully the ranting makes sense. I'll get back to, in a nation of children, do we really want everyone to be armed? That's a difficult conversation. What do we do about that? I'm going to post on that. We'll talk more tomorrow, but that'll do it for today. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.